of Nehemiah. And as we go through the last chapter of Nehemiah, we're going to have to refer back to a number of chapters in Ezra. But all right, we'll leave all of that. Let's just begin the chapter. Chapter 13. By Yom Ahu Nikra B'Sefer Moshe Ba'aznei Ha'am. On that day. What day is he talking about? They had talked earlier about a gathering of all of Israel before the dedication of the walls of Yerushalayim. And on that day they read in the Sefer, in the book of Moshe, the ears of the people, V'nimzak HaTuvbo, and they found written in that Sefer, Asher lo yavo Amoni yuma'ovi v'kahal ha'elukim ad olam dedinam, somebody from Ammon and Moab cannot come into the congregation of God forever. Kilo kidnu et b'nei Yisrael b'alechem u'b'mayim, because they had not gone out toward the Jewish people with bread and water when Jews went out of Egypt, and they passed near Ammon and Moab. By Yisgar olav et Bilam lekalalo, and they Moab had hired Bilam to curse the people. By Yahavoch Elokeinu Aklovo Lebracha, and our God is the one that turned that curse into blessing. So all of a sudden they find out that you can't marry somebody from Ammon and Moab. And it's fascinating, of course, that this comes as such a great surprise to them. We'll see about it yet. When they heard the Torah, they separated all Edev. I imagine it most probably comes from the term Edev Rav. In other words, those who had become the multitude that had become mixed into the Jewish people, they separated themselves. Now that means we're going to see it here, and we're going to see it more toward the end of the till the very end of the Sefer. If you'll just take a look at Pasuk 23 in this last chapter. Gam b'yamim ahem. This is Nehemiah speaking. Gam b'yamim ahem, also in those days. You have it. Ra'iti et ha'yehudim. I saw that Jews, Hoshivu, settled into their houses. They placed in their homes. Noshim Ashdodios, Ammonios, Moavios. They had married women from Ashdod, that was Plishtim, to the south, from Amor and Moab. Upinehem, and you know what the result was? The result was that their children, Chatsim et Daber Ashdodit, they speak, either half of them speak Ashdodit, Ve'enom Akidim et Daber Yehudit, and they don't recognize the language Yehudit, Jewish, they can't speak Hebrew. Uchalishon Am Va'am, they speak like the languages of all of the nations, because they have married. They have entered into all sorts of marital relationships with people from different nations, and they are speaking different languages as a result of it. This is what Nehemiah is reporting. V'odivimam, and I argued with them. V'akalalein, and I cursed them. V'akenihem, and I hit them. Anoshim, people from amongst them, for emritain, I tore their hair out of you. Do you understand? You hear what he's doing? We're talking about Nehemiah, who is taking an extremely strong position. Vashbiyeh, I mean, that's not such a strong way to describe it. Vashbiyeh in Be'elohim, and I made them swear by God that they shouldn't dare in Titnu v'notechem l'vneim to give their daughters to their sons, and you shouldn't take from their daughters for your sons or for yourself. Now listen how far he goes. And he makes a statement now that is very difficult. It was because of this, through this, that Shlomo, king of Israel, sinned, he erred. And in the many nations, Lo Hayah Melech Kamahu, there was no king like him. Vo'ohuv le'elokav hayah, he was beloved by God. Vayitnei olekim melech al kol Yisrael, and God made him king over all of Israel.
Gam oto hechetiyu hanoshim hanochriyot. He too, great man, erred because of his of these women. Yes.
So of course, Shlomo HaMelech is a descendant of Moabia. However, except of course, that I part of our Shiram Gut this year was Amoni velo Amonid, Moavi velo Moavia.
Anti railing against those who married women from Moab and Amon.
Ah, okay. So no. She's not good. So we'll have to understand. I'm going to deal with the halacha here. The time has come. I didn't deal with the halacha at the end of toward the end of Ezra, where we had the same thing. There are three chapters toward the end of Ezra that deal with the plague of intermarriage, and it's still there's still a residue of it, and we have it here in the days of Nehemiah. There's going to be another problem over here. And maybe if I make the problem even sharper, then you will realize that we have to understand it in different terms. The halacha is that when Sanherib came up, he confused the nations, lost their identity. There was nobody anymore whom you could describe as Ammon and Moab. Ammon and Moab didn't even exist. There is no halacha of Ammon and Moab anymore. Just there's no halacha of Mitzri, and you'll see it all, because the nations of the world, the nations of the ancient world, lost their identity. So therefore, what he must be talking about is, and remember, under what circumstances, and maybe the simplest answer to your question is, under what circumstances can you marry a woman from Ammon and Moab? If she converted, kedas u'kedin. What happens if she didn't convert? So you know what? She's a goyah like any other goyah. So it's one of two things. Either if they didn't have them convert, or maybe they had some quickie phony conversion, or the idea is that these women are bringing in their influence and their culture, and they are the dominant ones. Let's go a little further. For Lachem, and if this is what happened to a man as great as and as wise as Shlomo, do you think that you will be able to succeed where he failed? V'lachem ha'nishma la'asot et kol ha'ro'a g'dol ha'azot lim'ol be'elokeinu la'ushim na'ushim na'chiyot. And, no, by the way, remember, there's also a big difference between Shlomo and them. Shlomo, of course, they were converted, kedas and kedin. Over here, there were those who married women. I mean, obviously, you can't be talking about women who converted, because a woman who converted has a din of a Jewish woman. Huh? So that's why I'm saying that in terms of the influence, even those whom he converted, and he was so great and so wise, Kal v'chomer, of course, you, what chance do you stand against the influences that are going to come into your home and into your society? V'lachem ha'nishma la'asot. And tell Arag, Azot, are we going to listen to you? And what you claim, we're going to listen to what you have to say to justify what you're doing. Lasot, and tell Arag, Azot, to do this great evil. Limol, Belo, came to sin against God. The word limol is going to be important. Lav Shiv, Noshim Nachriot, that you should have in your homes foreign women. From the sons of Yoyada, the son of Eliyashiv, and we're going to see about Eliyashiv in a moment. The Kohen Agadol, Choson the Sanballat Hachoroni, this son of Yoyada, the son of Eliyashiv, not from the family of the Kohen Gadol, there was an article who was a son-in-law to Sanballat Hachoroni. Sanballat Hachoroni was one of the son of Israel who sent a letter of hate to the king of Persia against the Jews. And he understand? He has himself, my son-in-law the Jew. For avrichehu me'alai, I forced him to flee. He got rid of either of Yoyada or Yoyada's son or Eliyashiv. He got rid of them. Zochroli lahem olakai. Remember them, God. Al go'olei hakuhuna, those who were rejected from the priesthood. Ubrit hakuhuna v'halifiyim. In order that I can teach them what is a true covenant of the priesthood and the Levites. V'tihartem, and I made them clean. I purified them. Mikol neichar. I purified them from any foreign or strange influence. And I established the order of the mishmarot of Kohanim and Levim, each one at his job. In other words, not only did he purify and cleanse the Kohanim and the Levim, he also arranged and organized how they were to do their work. I set aside special time for those who brought the sacrifice of the wood that they brought to the Beit HaMikdash. Be'itim mizumanot v'la bikurim, and those who would bring the bikurim. Zochro li elokai l'tov, God, remember all this for me for good. Now let's go back to where we didn't finish. I skipped in the middle. It's not fair. So here we are again with the problem of the women. Strange women. We have to see, first of all, the halacha. And we have to understand, we've learned about it in Sefer Ezra. And if you'll take a quick look back in, Ezra, chapter 9. Chapter 9 in Ezra begins with, they had celebrated Ezra had arrived in Eretz Yisrael. When did Ezra leave Bavel? On the 12th day of Nisan. He arrived in Eretz Yisrael on Rosh Chodesh Av. And then they celebrated Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot. And then it says at the beginning of chapter 9, U'kichalot Eile, and when all of this was over, they had finished all of the celebrations of Yom Tov. Nigshu Eilai Hasanim Leimor. The officers came up with me saying, Lo Nivdulu Ha'am Yisrael V'Hakohanim V'Halevim Me'Amei Ha'aratzot. The people of Israel, the Kohanim and the Levim, have not separated themselves from the people of the land. Ketavotehem, as their abominations, Lakdani, Achiti, Haprizi, Ayibusi, Harmoni, Hamoavi, Hamitzri, V'Hamori. In what way did they not separate themselves from these nations? There should be 8 nations mentioned over there. 6 are from the 7 original nations of Canaan. Added to that, if we have Canaani, Chiti, Prizi, and Yebusi, 4. 2 are Ammoni and Moabi. And then 2 are Mitzri and Amori. So really Amori is 5. 5 from the original 7. Girgashi is not mentioned because Girgashi went off into exile. Chivi really are the ones who became the ones who worked in the Beit HaMikdash. In what way were they not separated? They married their daughters for themselves and their sons. And the holy seed has become intermingled with the people of the land. Now, the next part of this pasuk is going to be terribly important for a number of reasons. Number one, it says, V'yad ha'sorin v'hasganim, the officers, the princes of the people, and their assistants, ha'itah ba'mal ha'zeh v'shanah, they were the first ones to do this ma'al, this sin. Now, we've just now seen the word ma'al for a second time. We have the word ma'al used with regard to foreign women at the end of Nehemiah. We have it now in Ezra. Now, what's a bit problematic, and it's also understood now as a result of this pasuk, there is the famous Mishnah in Masechet Kedushin that says, Asara yuchsin olu mi Babel. There was 10 different kinds of Jews that went with, that Ezra took from Babel to Eretz Yisrael. In addition to Kohen, Levi, and Yisrael, what he really did was, he took Asufi, Harudi, Gerudi, Shaduki. I left the Mishnah in my car. Maybe I have it elsewhere. But what it really means is that Ezra took all of those about whom there was some doubt with regard to their lineage, he brought them from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. That means that Ezra is very, very well aware of all of the family problems or problems of Yichus by Klal Yisrael. So how are we to understand the next pasuk in Ezra 9? Ukishami et hadavar hazeh, when I heard this thing, korati et bigdi umi'ili, I tore my garment and my coat, v'emnitom yisad roshi v'zikoni, and I tore out the hair of my head and my beard, v'eishvom yishomein, and I sat there absolutely desolate. What's he getting so excited about? Ezra is the one who brings a multitude of people who are of doubtful lineage. He brings them from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, and he gets excited about the fact that they're marrying out of the faith. So of course the way to understand this is there's only one thing he finds out now that's different, that he didn't know before. What he finds out now is what it said at the end of Pasuk 2, V'yad ha'sorim v'ha'sigonim ha'ita b'amal ha'zeh rishona. You know what he finds out now? That it is the princes from the choshev families, they're the ones who were the first to begin to intermarry when they came to Eretz Yisrael. This is what he finds out. That there's been intermarriage going on, he's aware of. But it's the shining Eden. The question, of course, is this is not so simple to understand. Are we to assume that, listen, a bunch of shkutzim? It's not that simple. I think that we have to look for what might have been the reasons that led to it. That happens now. After Ezra is going to spend the whole day now in the Beis HaMikdash, people are going to begin to gather to him. They agree, in other words, after he finds out, they agree that they're going to send away their foreign women. The end of Ezra is going to list 113 people who promised and they sent away their wives. But no, this is a process until this is resolved. And we see that Ezra never resolves it completely, because now we're at the end of Nehemiah, and Nehemiah finds the same problem. The residual effect of the original problem is still there. I think we can say that the problem never left us. But over here, we're talking about what might it be? What might it be? And we have to understand. I can understand America better than I can understand the time of Ezra and Nehemiah.
Did they come married with these women, or did they marry
into? So therefore I said it's quite clear that the problem had already begun in Bavel, because Ezra is bringing from Bavel all sorts of people whose pedigree is not clear. In the beginning of Ezra, I think it was... Yeah, right. Now, the fact is, if you take a look earlier in Ezra chapter 2, in Ezra chapter 2, it's a long chapter, Pasuk 61, Umibnei HaKohanim, chapter 2, you didn't need it to know, Ubnei Barzilai, they looked for, in other words, families had some proof of where they had come from, and they checked through this family to find out if there hadn't been any family problems, and they were found wanting. In other words, it wasn't clear. Their lineage wasn't clear, and therefore they were rejected from being Kohanim. It means that they are aware of the fact that there is a problem, and that we have to investigate and we have to see what it is that we can do about it. How does the problem... If the problem existed in Bavel, I can understand. I can understand it better in Babel than I can understand it now when they return to Eretz Yisrael. What is it now? And I think that we can identify a number of reasons, and maybe one of the important ones is right back there earlier in Ezra as well. Huh? So I said, there are two things that happened. There are those who came from Bavel with women from foreign nations, but separate and distinct from that is they are intermarrying in Eretz Yisrael.
Maybe women didn't come from Bavel, they didn't have enough women, and she has been in the shortage of women.
It sounds like a cowboy movie from the West. I mean, from the Wild West, you understand. They have to bring women to Dodge City.
Wasn't a minority population? There were dates to marry, they had affiliations with resident families that may or may not have been able to protect their wealth.
Wait, you're saying so much without changing. We start that sentence all over again with such a long one. Yeah?
I was just saying, isn't it possible that as a minority in the community in Israel, by affiliating, the ones that were most likely to affiliate with powerful people would be the more important Jews, they were able to secure more security for the population?
All right, expand that. Expand on that. However, number one, you have to understand that what is the natural instinct of people that are immigrants?
They stick with their own, and many of the people that came,
now you're saying both the opposite. You are disagreeing with each other. So please converse with each other and then decide. In other words, right. The immigrants who came to America. So they all stuck together on the east side, but there was but the second generation wanted to melt. They wanted to melt into the dominant society. They're coming back to an Eretz Yisrael now that has a multitude of nations that are living there. The multitude of nations did not go out into exile. They have Ammon and Moab, and there are Shomronim. There are all sorts of people that are living, and therefore the Jewish community, in comparison to the larger community over there, is really very small. But there may be another important point. In chapter 4 of Ezra, when they hear Vayishmu Tzorei Yehuda Binyamin Ki Bnei Golad Bonim Heichal Hashem, when they heard that Jews are building a temple to God. So they came and they said, let us build with you because we worship the same God. Instead, there were Goyim living in Eretz Yisrael who claimed to be Jews. The Kutim. Gemara is full of the Kutim. The Kutim are those who were brought by Sancheret to Eretz Yisrael. And there are a few chapters, yes, toward the end of Malachim Bet, there are a few chapters that we didn't learn that talk about the Kutim. Yes, right? That's right. In other words, there were people, in other words, if somebody is looking for a heter to marry a woman without feeling that he is really marrying out of the faith, they were there on the spot. There were those who said, listen, let us build with you because we serve the same God. And the Gemara, in fact, tells us that those nations who were living in Eretz Yisrael, in many respects, they did keep the mitzvahs, but that there were very significant respects in which they didn't. They were the Samaritans. The Samaritans at that time were a very strong, powerful part of the population. They disappeared, of course, in the in history, just like all the rest of them disappeared. All of them lost their identity. So I mean, there are all sorts of factors over here. I believe yours, and you will see soon that yours is terribly important as well, the idea of connecting or plugging in to the people who have power, prominence, and wealth. And especially when you have a little heter over there in your back pocket that, well, they're not completely goyim, they're shtickl Jewish too. Ezra and Nehemiah are going to have to re-educate a people. They're going to need a shear in what is prohibited and what's permitted. But before we get to the halachic aspects over here, and the halachic aspects are not simple. Don't be wrong. You're not allowed to marry. You're always allowed to marry a shiksa. Don't. The question is it also min ha-Torah? Is it also min ha-Rabbanon? On what basis? What is the real prohibition? All right.
But you look at that when they convert, even though they converted, they brought part of their culture with them into the marriage. and that's what influenced him. So that.
Yeah, but if they didn't convert, if they didn't convert, then it's certainly terrible. We're going to see more in the chapter. Let me just take you another few. Yes, sure. Let me read something to you. The Rambam on the Mishnah that says that Ezra brought all of these, all of those of doubtful lineage, he brought them from Babel to Eretz Yisrael. What was the purpose? What was he doing? The fact is that the Gemara says that when Ezra left Babel, he left Babel pure. Anybody who was problematic, anybody who, by whom there was a question, of it seems as though all the questionable ones, the dredges, as we say, are the ones who ended up in Eretz Yisrael. But now the Rambam explains what was the purpose of this. The words of the Rambam are the following: Kishaala Ezra mi Babel. When Ezra came up from Babel, lo he niyam behem psul b'shum panim. He didn't leave anybody in Babel who was posel, unfit to be part of the Jewish people. Vehela imo, he brought up with him all of those who were questionable. Mipnei shechoshash, Mamish, exactly what you're concerned about. Listen to the Rambam. Mipnei shechoshash, he was afraid. Shemo yitarvu imahem. He was afraid that if he leaves those who are questionable, there will be they're going to intermarry within their communities in the Golan. Because in Babel there was no Sanhedrin that could deal with these issues. These issues needed a Sanhedrin who would investigate each case and decide whether one is kosher or not kosher. So if they would have remained, all of these would have remained in the Golah, there would have been serious problems. Ezra is taking them up to Eretz Yisrael, because in Eretz Yisrael they're going to have the legal and halachic means by which to deal with it. This can only be dealt with the Sanhedrin. There is no Sanhedrin in Chutz Laaretz. You can't have a Sanhedrin in Chutz Laaretz. And these decisions have to be made by that kind of a body. So therefore he brings them all to Eretz Yisrael in order that their personal status should be resolved. That's what's happening. That puts a completely different light on it. Now, they're aware of the fact that these people are problematic, and it may very well be that there are many who are going to be found fit to enter the Jewish people, and others who will not be. So he says, Ulefichach, hello, Tamli Yerushalayim, therefore, this is the Rambam. No, he says, therefore, he brought them up to Yerushalayim, Shehoyosham Bezdin HaGadol, there was the Bezdin HaGadol, they will not permit them to become intermingled amongst the regular population. They're going to make certain that only those who are found to be kosher Jews will be able to intermarry, and others, Sanhedrin, will have to find some way to deal with their personal status. But there was no one with authority in Chutz Laaretz, in Babel, there was nobody with the authority to deal with personal status.
I mean, these people had families in Babel, if they were intermarried, they had all their extended family, which I can understand who was concerned about influencing the Jewish community. Then she left people here where they had no one to get out.
Nobody coerces anybody. Nobody was taken by chains on Aliyah. We don't want people to come on Aliyah. I imagine by force of his personality. And the fact that there is... Here we're going to establish a body that's going to deal with your personal status. Most probably the Jew who had this problem was not terribly happy, but wanted somebody to deal with him and deal with him honestly.
So if they were a couple that wanted to stay together and wanted to have the status changed, then they would have motivation to...
Yeah.
If they weren't desirous of keeping the marriage and getting into the Jewish people properly, changing the status officially,
why bother coming?
Why not to Babylon? And you don't care. But if you care about not just coming out, but if you care about motivating yourself to change your family status and get it purified, so to speak, then they would be motivated, so to speak.
And they came, yes.
decided.
What do you mean, whatever they decided? Watch. Listen. The Rambam says the following. Yisrael, I mean, this is going to shake you a little bit, so hang on. Not the Rambam, Baron's not going to shake you, but Yisrael Shepa'al Goya Mishar Ha'umos Derech Ishus, a Jew who lived with a non-Jewish woman, Mishar Ha'umot, from the other nations. By other nations, he means the nations not clearly listed in Torah. In Torah, it says very clearly, you can't marry the Kanani, the Amori, the Hiti, the Brizi, the Yabusi. In Torah, it says Ammoni and Moabi cannot come into the congregation of God. In the Torah, it says you can't marry a Mitzri until the third generation. What about nations that are beyond these 7, 8, or 10 categories? They're not mentioned clearly in Torah. What's the halacha? What happens if somebody is going to marry a Yevonis or a Romis? Right? Or whatever it be. So the Rambam says, Yisrael Shebal Goya, a Yisrael who lives with a non-Jewish woman, Misha'ar Ha'umot, from the other nations. Other nations means those nations not mentioned specifically in Torah. Derech Ishut, and he lives with her as husband and wife. O Yisraelit, or a Jewish woman, Shenivala Lagoy Derech Ishut, who lives with a non-Jewish man as man and wife. Harei elokin min hatorah, they get malchus min hatorah, it's prohibited min hatorah. Shenema, because it says in Torah, v'lo titchatein bom, you shall not marry them. Bitcha lo titein livno, your daughter you should not give to his son. Ubito lo tigach, and his daughter you shall not take livenecha. And here the Rambam makes it very clear what he's saying. Echot shivo amamin, ve'echot kol umot bi'isur zed. Not only the 7 nations who originally lived in the land of Canaan, not only they, but all nations of the world are part of this prohibition. V'chein meforash ayidei Ezra. The Rambam quotes Ezra and he says that this was made clear to us by Ezra. In other words, there may have been doubt. There may have been doubt whether the halacha of not marrying a non-Jew, in other words, who did they come in contact with during the course of 900 years of the first temple? Who did they come in contact with? Those are mentioned specifically in Torah, the Kanani, the Amori, the Chiti, the Prizi, the Yabusi, and then their cousins who were nearby, Ammoni and Moavi, and then Mitzri to the south. Those are the only ones they came in contact with. Most probably the Shaila didn't come up about a Jew marrying out of the faith by marrying some woman from another nation. They didn't come in contact with them. When did they come in contact with them? During the course of Golos Bavel, and then when they returned to Eretz Yisrael in the days of Ezra. So number one, those original nations who had lived in the land, their identity was lost. Who are they meeting up with now? Women from all sorts of other nations of the world. It is Ezra who has to make clear to them that you should know that the prohibition in Torah against not marrying does not apply only to the original nations of Eretz Canaan, and those who are mentioned specifically in Torah, Echot, Shivo, Amamin, Ve'echot, Kol Umot, Ve'yisur Zeh. The 7 nations and all other nations are included in this. And who made this clear? Who made this clear? V'chein mefurash al yedei Ezra. This was made clear by Ezra. Because in Ezra, it's really in the Nehemiah, in the Amanah. You remember the covenant that we studied? The covenant that was entered into by Klal Yisrael in the days of Nehemiah, so it says one of the clauses in the covenant was, "Vashelo nitein benoteinu la'meharis, we will not give our daughters to the people of the land, ve'et benoteim lo nikach l'baneinu, we will not take their daughters for our sons." Below Osra Torah, the Rambam's next halacha is that the Torah only prohibited derech chatnut if it is by way of marriage. Aval abal agoya derech znut, but somebody who lives with a non-Jewish woman, and it's an act of prostitution. It's not that he is marrying her. Makin otal makas mardus, and then it's also midrabbanon, and for that he is punished midrabbanon. Bidibrei sofer. Gzeda, why did they prohibit it? Because if Shema yavo lihitchaten, the next step may very well be that they will
marry. And then there was a very special halacha about one having a mistress. Im yichdal al esnut, if he set her aside for snut, the chachamim prohibited it even with greater intensity. All right. I was asking. I'm talking about Kishkasat to answer your question. The only thing that Ezra made clear to them, according to the Rambam, and by the way, it's only according to the Rambam. The Tur Shulchan Aruch, our Shulchan Aruch, says that the Isser of all other nations, women of all other nations, is Midrabbanan, not Min HaTorah. The Rambam says it's Min HaTorah. And the Rambam is saying, who was it that made this clear? Ezra is the one who made it clear. Now I want to just read for you while we're talking about this. There's one amazing Rambam. Terribly important Rambam. If you'd ask somebody a Shaila. I mean, it's a strange Shaila to ask. Which is worse? Living with a Jewish woman who is Nida, or living with a Shiksa where there is no prohibition of Nida? Which is worse? Living with a Jewish woman. Because Nida, every time, is correct. All right, okay. You both agree. You walked right into the trap that I had set for you. Absolutely. I appreciate you did it. Because that's really what, in other words, a non-Jewish woman, so according to the Torah, it's a drabana, and even according to the Rambam that it is diuraita, so it's a negative commandment, but it's not a negative commandment of kares. Says the Rambam the following: Avon zeh, this sin, marrying a non-Jewish woman, Avon pishein bo mitat bedin, even though there is no punishment, you know, death penalty or something, ayi kal beinecha, it should not be light in your eyes. Eliyesh bo hefsted, there is a loss here. She'ein b'chol ha'adayot kimoto. All other illicit marriages are not as bad as the loss that takes place here. She'aben min ha'erva, because a son that's born from a woman who's prohibited to somebody, b'nohu l'chol davar, is considered his son in all respects. U'b'chlal Yisrael nefsher, he's considered a Jew. Avot b'shehu mamzer. Instead, we're talking about somebody who committed a terrible crime. Man lives with a married woman. Man lives with his sister. I mean, ugly, ugly. And out of that, the child is tainted and with a mamzer for all time. Says the Rambam, that's not as bad. Because though the child is a mamzer, still a Jew. Ba'ben, he's called a Jew. The son who comes from a shiksa is not his child. You marry out of the faith, you're going to turn your children away from after me. You turn him away from following God. A mamzer can be a godel b'Yisrael. A mamzer, while he has restrictions and prohibitions, not his fault, he can be a frumme yid, a tayere yid, a gute yid, and any taint or stain that is a part of it is not his fault. But a child from a shiksa is not Jewish. And the Rambam has made here a terribly, terribly important statement. Fascinating statement. All right. Not really the same, because the shivcha has to have already converted. She has to have converted. All right. Yeah. I don't believe it's true. I don't believe the thing is true. I think it's nonsense, and it's a fringe element who, because the press likes to jump on these kind of things, and it's gotten all over the internet, and the next guy who comes to me with a printout of that stuff, I'm going to sack it. The Leanator.
I don't even want to, some group or one nut or two mishugoyim who want to bring the idea of concubine back to practice. Get out of here, mishugoyim. A self mishugoyim by Klal Yisrael. Selfish mishugoyim. So you have another mishugoyim and another soul. Make me mishugoyim. Yes. Absolutely not enough. You're not allowed to convert a woman. You cannot accept a convert if the purpose of the conversion is marriage. What happens? And here is the most probably the most sticky question of our time. But Alan Hoskins. But what happens if you do convert somebody, and there was an ulterior motive? The halacha is that the conversion is valid. Conversion is valid. So then we're faced with a moral problem. So what are we going to do now? We know that people are going to be marrying non-Jewish women or vice versa. So should we just close our eyes and say, forget about it? It's not our business. Or since they're going to be part of the Jewish community, at least make them halachically part of the Jewish community. Then again, of course, there's the other way to look at it. Why make them Jewish if they're not going to keep Torah mitzvahs? What's the point? I mean, this is the dilemma. I'm talking about now. That's the great dilemma now. Maybe the next generation. What? Oh, but we already have enough generations to know. No, but we know already in America, that the with each passing generation, the distances, it's all over there, completely lost. All the nonsense that, the non-Jewish spouse is going to become Jewish, I think about 85 to 90% of children born from the intermarriage are being raised as goyim, not as Jews. It's finished, it's nothing. All right. So the problem.
So why now are you listening to them?
Who me? You?
No.
Who's listening to them? you'll hear tonight's share in Parsha. You'll have another view of what's going on. So wait, hang in. We're gonna have to learn certain sections of Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, but I just want to read a few psukim now, and they are from Malachi. Malachi chapter 2, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Just to leave you with one important thought of what's taking place over here. Now, who Malachi was, that's my card.
Yeah, I know.
That's my business card, yeah. I never use it, okay. Malachi was the last of the prophets, huh?
Where is Malachi?
Malachi, after Yecheskel, you have the Treyasa, the last of the 12 minor prophets. You're too far. Malachi is one of the prophets at the time of Shivat Zion, when Jews returned. Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi are the three prophets of Shivat Zion. There is even an opinion that says Malachi is Ezra. It's a machloket in the Gemara. Is Malachi Ezra or is Malachi another prophet? And Malachi may not even be his name, but Malachi means my messenger. He's the last of the prophets. And he is saying, he is admonishing the Jews of the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. And in chapter 2, Pasuk 11, he says, Bogdo Yehuda. Bogdo Yehuda. Yehuda has acted with treachery, betrayal. And an abomination has been done in Israel and Yerushalayim. Yehuda has desecrated Kodesh Hashem, the holiness of God, Asher Ohev. And what was this treachery? What was the betrayal? He lived with the daughter of a strange god. In other words, the non-Jewish woman is called the daughter of a strange god. And therefore Malachi says a curse, Yachret Hashem lo ish asher yaseno eir v'ono lagad, cut out from the person who does this,
Er va'ona me ohale Yaakov. I'm not going to discuss now the meaning of er va'ona. We'll get back to that. Umagi, in other words, it's simple meaning, and the Rambam's going to talk about it, means can good be eaten, I'm not going to come from such unions. Umagish mincha, we don't want those people to come and bring karbanos Hashem Sarkot. Vizot shenit tasu. There's a second sin that they committed. Not enough that they married or lived with a woman from a foreign nation. Vizot shenit tasu tasod dim'ayet mizbach Hashem. They've covered the altar of God with tears. Because the Jewish women who were neglected or rejected came and cried before the Mizbeah. Kasot dim'ah, you cover with tears the Mizbeah of God, b'chiva anokha, crying and moaning. Me'ein ot p'nosel ha'mincha, v'lo kachat ratzon miyevchem. If your wives are coming and crying for the Mizbeah, you can't expect that God is going to receive your sacrifices on this altar. Ba'amartem. And you know, all of a sudden you're going to ask me, Alma, why isn't God accepting our sacrifices? Because God is the one who testifies between you and the wife of your youth. You betrayed her. The fact is, she's your best friend. And the wife of with whom you entered into a treaty. Yes?
Very interesting, because in this day and age, many men married Jewish wives, men were married non-Jews.
Well, this is what they were doing here. This is what they're doing here. But I just want to point out one thing. Maybe I should spend more time on it, but maybe we'll find another opportunity. In that chapter 9 in Ezra, when Ezra finds out, when they tell Ezra of the terrible thing, it says, I tore bigdi umi'ili, my beged and my me'il. My coat, my clothing and my coat. Now watch the use of words over here. What did Malachi say? How does he refer to it? How does he refer to this marrying other women? Bogda Yehuda. Bogda Yehuda. Yehuda has betrayed. Both Ezra and Nehemiah refer to this sin as Ma'al. Ezra tears his beged and his meal. Do you understand the relationship over here? A beged is a garment, and a beged also means to betray. Because the one who betrays cloaks himself. He's not going to let you know that he's betraying. He covers his betrayal. The one who is betraying covers himself in a me'il. The me'il is a ma'al. The me'il is the sin. You cover and you conceal. Your beged is your begidah, your betrayal. And therefore, in the parsha of Sota, last week's Sedra, parsha of Sota, Isha ki Tim'o Ma'al, if she is unfaithful to her husband, she cloaked herself in some kind of under the cover of darkness. In this week's Haftarah, the Haftarah of Parsha Balotcha, God, the Haftarah of Parsha Balotcha, it comes from Zechariah. It's Zechariah chapter 2. Listen to the Haftarah, we're going to learn it anyway. It's going to start, it begins in Zechariah chapter 2. Pasuk 14, that's right before Malachi. Rani the Simcha Bat Zion ki hin ni bavish achanti betokech no'om Hashem. Let Bat Zion be full of joy and sing, because I'm coming to live in your midst. Chapter 3. Pasuk Gimel. V'Yoshua hayolavush begodim tzoin. Yoshua Kohen Gadol, the one who we learned about a great deal about it, he was wearing filthy clothing. Va'omed l'fnei ha'malach, and he's standing before the angel. And the angel tells him, remove the filthy clothing. Targum Yonatan ben Azil says, what is the filthy clothing that Yoshua Kohen Gadol is wearing? That his children had married women who were unfit for them. How is it described? As begodim. Garments are the cover for begida. This is the
is the betrayal. And therefore, so that both Malachi, all three of them, Malachi, Ezra, and Nehemiah, all of them refer to this sin as Ma'al or Begita, and therefore, symbolically, along comes Ezra, and when he hears what's happening, he tears both Bigdi u'Me'ili, the Beged and the Me'il, because they represent the idea of the cover-up. That here, on the one hand, man doesn't divorce his Jewish wife, takes another wife, and this is the great cover-up of all. And this is the act of betrayal, literally. All right, to be continued, here's Hashem next.